The young hare remained standing, gathering his breath.
No time for that, Django. We nearly ran into the full pack of ravagers back there. Lucky they never saw us, but they're on the move, and that Zwilt beast is leading them. They're headed for Redwall. We heard the shouts. Get Diggs and the rest. We've got to get back to the Abbey double quick.
Casting aside his empty plate, the Gowsome chieftain stamped streamwater from his foot paws.
Ravagers marching on Redwall, you say? Form up and move out, Gowsome. There's no time to waste. About Diggs, he ain't with us. I thought he was with you, Buck.
Buckler looked distracted for a moment, then he sighed.
Well, he ain't. I haven't clapped eyes on Diggs since we were searching the caves at Althea. Well, Diggs will have to look out for himself. We can't stop now. Got to go.
Mumsy picked up a half-finished chunk of turnover.
What about the little uns, Mr. Buck?
The young hare shook his head.
No sign of them yet, and they weren't with the vermin, so we'll have to call off searching for them until after we've defended the Abbey. If either the young'uns or Diggs turns up here, I've no doubt you'll take them in and care for them, ma'am. We'll be indebted if you do. Take care of yourself, friend.
Buckler gave the water vole a swift salute with his blade and hurried off with Axtel and the Gowsome. Diggs was still wandering about in the caves and tunnels beneath the great oak. The plain fact was that the tubby hare was lost. He had become separated from the group he was searching with. Unwittingly, he had ambled into Valea's personal chamber, where he found some wine, a cooked trout, and wheat bread, all intended for the Sable Queen's private consumption. Not wanting to share his find with the others, he settled down to a lucky repast, munching away and chunnering as he justified his actions.
Blooming Gowsome cats wouldn't share it with me if they'd have found it, rotters. Well, yeah, boom, shrews. You can go and blinking well whistle for your share. Not too bad, if I say so myself. Rather tasty, in fact. This must be the officer's mess. Treat themselves pretty well, these vermin cats, what? Oh, bother and blow. The confounded torch has gone out now.
After trying unsuccessfully to blow the sparks back into flame, he did what he would normally do after a meal. Took a short nap. Subaltern Mellison Gubthorpe Digglethwaite's idea of a short nap was rather lengthy. He woke in complete darkness and silence. Yawning and stretching, the portly young rogue felt his way out of the cave, calling to his fellow searchers for assistance.
I say, buckos, fetch a light here, if you'd be so kind.
There was no response to his cries, which annoyed Diggs.
Dratted, spiky-headed fiends. It's just like you to leave a chap in the dark, and it's probably supper time too. Right, desert me. I don't jolly well care. Ha! Wait until I catch up with you, laddie bucks. I'll have a word or three to say about comradeship and all that. By the right, left and centre I will, believe me.
How long he rambled through the darkened underworld of caves and tunnels, Diggs could not say. It was only by pure accident that he managed to find himself at the broken down door in the big oak trunk. Diggs staggered out thankfully.
Aha! Good old fresh air again, what?
He heard a rustle in a nearby bush. Drawing his sling, Diggs loaded a heavy chunk of rock into it. He advanced on the bush, twirling his weapon purposefully.
Front and centre. Come on out and face me, you lily-livered maggot. Yow!
A stone hit his slinging paw, causing him to drop it. A dark form thundered out of the brush, laying him flat with a mighty body charge. Diggs struggled to rise, but a footpaw which felt like a stone shelf held him pinned to the ground. He found himself staring up into the fierce brown eyes of a large, powerful badger maid. She was twirling a sling twice the size of the weapon he carried. It was loaded with a boulder. She growled menacingly.
Tell me where my friend is, and I might allow you to live.